North Pole Radio contains frank discussions of the secret of Santa and is therefore not intended for younger listeners.
Welcome back to North Pole Radio. I am, as always, your host, Matt. And today, I don't talk necessarily a lot about of the business end of Christmas performing. A lot of the times I talk creative and stuff like that. But my guest today has run his own Santa booking agency. He's just a very knowledgeable about the business end of things. He's knowledgeable about a ton of things. I'm going to have him back multiple times to talk to him about lots of different things. But today I decided, since it's early in the year and everything, that we can start thinking about good business practices. So we're not rushing kind of at the end, closer to the season, rushing at the last minute. And he's also, he was featured in the documentary Santa Camp, and he is part of the New England Santa Society, helped start that. That's all stuff maybe we'll talk about a little bit, but I'm going to bring him right in right now, and I'm going to say hello to Santa Dan Greenleaf. Hey, Dan.
Hey there. Good to see you. Good to hear you.
Yes, good to see you as well. And also, your name has come up on this show before, because last year, just for fun, I did a top five Christmas commercials with friends of mine, where we all picked our top five favorite Christmas commercials, and you were the star of one of my top five favorite Christmas commercials. I encouraged everybody to go look it up. It was the one you did at the Vermont Reindeer Farm.
So. It was so much fun. I mean, it was a full day shoot.
Mm-hmm.
It started to snow about halfway through.
Yep.
I got to drive home in a 6-inch storm.
Oof. Yeah, and that's
until I hit Crawford Notch. But it was a great experience. And they are such a great crew to work with. And it was my first visit to the Vermont Reindeer Farm. So yep. It was also fun because I got a lot of photos with the reindeer and actually got to walk them and run around and chase them around the paddock and stuff. So
it's a fun place. Yeah.
And of course, there's a sequel now to that commercial.
Is there?
It's just this year, same company, and they had me bring Mrs. Claus along this time. Oh. So if you go to G Stone Motors website, you can see both of them.
I'm going to have to look up the second one. So
not as much fun, but it was cute.
That's good. That's good. So anyway, I'm going to start off here, and I'm going to ask you to, tell me a little bit about Christmas growing up, Dan. What was Christmas like for you when you were a child?
Well, I was part of a family of six. My father had five brothers, and, my mother had three siblings.
Wow.
And we all were relatively close together. So, I mean, my favorite thing about Christmas when I was growing up was we'd start at my mother's family and for a Christmas Eve party. And, you know, I was introduced to Yankee Swap there and the vicious kind. but it was fun to meet with them and celebrate Christmas at that part of the family. Then we would spend the night at my grandmother's with, early years, my one set of cousins would be there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, it was Christmas morning there. And then we would have breakfast there, but then leave and go back to my father's family. And with some of the time, all the brothers and their kids were there. So it was, I always just remember that long table with all the adults. And it always makes me think of a Bruegel painting in the taverns and stuff with just long row. And of course the kids' table down in the other room. And so for me, it was always family was Christmas. Yeah. As far as Santa goes, My father was actually Santa.
Oh, really?
At least for a couple of years at the church. And the church would always hold an event. And it was usually the pageant, you know, the manger and all mm-hmm. the sheep and the, you know, the shepherds. And then after that, Santa would come and give the children presents. And I know my father had did it for a couple of years, and he was not built anything like I am.
Okay.
So he literally used a pillow.
Sure.
And didn't have a beard. So, but he did it for a few years, and I'm not even sure how many, because I was sort of at that age where he might even be my Santa, and I didn't even realize it was him.
Okay, yeah.
But for a couple of years, I knew he was the one. And then my uncle ended up picking up the role, and he was built much more like Santa, but he did it for a number of years too. Okay. So that was kind of my intro to Santa. And then as I grew up and had my own family, we kind of did the same thing. We would go to my family and then my wife's family. And so we've always had kind of those big Christmas parties, and those are the memories I have the most.
Oh, wonderful. And so what brought you, your dad and your uncle, they kind of did Santa. What brought you into being Santa?
Well, actually, my first appearance as Santa was on skis. And okay. I know you've had Nick Gelati on here.
Yep.
As Santa on skis. But I was teaching, I was a ski instructor at Gunstock Mountain in New Hampshire. And my boss came over and he said, they want somebody to ski around as Santa on Christmas Eve day. Do you mm-hmm. want to do it? And it was like, yeah, it sounds like fun. Yeah. I was getting paid for the whole day. So I borrowed a suit. I used a cheap beard. I did have a beard at the time, but it wasn't white and it wasn't that long. Mm-hmm. And I went out and I skied around and would stop and chat with the kids and hop in classes and just had a great time. And the next year I did it again. They also had me be Santa for the party for the employees' kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I did one or two others. I filled in at our local athletic club did a holiday fair every year as a fundraiser. And so one year I filled in as Santa for that. And I think I did one or two other like school parties. And that was it. And for about probably 10, 12 years.
Yep.
And, you know, this, I'm sure you've heard this story or the listeners have heard this story all the time and probably experienced it themselves. A friend came and she said, hey, I'm doing a party for the staff at the school.
Mm.
How about dressing up as Santa and helping me out with some of the activities?
Mm-hmm.
So at the time I've been an entrepreneur my whole life and was doing the gig economy back then. And this was 2008.
Okay.
And I was doing gig economy and mystery shopping and doing all kinds of things. And I thought, yeah, that sounds like fun. And so I started looking into it a little more about being a professional Santa and decided mm-hmm. I might give this a try. And I didn't really start until probably mid-November to start, you know, kind of promoting myself and getting out there.
Mm-hmm.
And back in those days, Craigslist was the way to go. Facebook, I was just on the horizon.
Sure, yeah.
And so Craigslist was a place you could post, you could find people looking for Santa. And I started there. And I did pick up, I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 events that year. And then just kept doing it for a number of years. And my schedule started filling up and I was sold. I mean, I mm-hmm. really enjoyed it. I had background in theater and public speaking and education and stuff. So I was very comfortable with the role and had a blast. So then it just grew from there.
Yeah. That's great. Now, I mentioned it at the top. One of the things, because you and I, we went back and forth on kind of what we might talk about today. And what I settled on is something that you know, and I know, and maybe a lot of people listening know. One of the questions that pops up most in the Santa groups on Facebook is, what should I be charging for X? I am just starting. I've been Santa, as I want to do this professionally now and get paid. What should I charge for X? You know, home visit, virtual visit, photo shoot, stuff like that. And, you know, and there's always like a million answers. But like you said, you've been an entrepreneur. You're kind of a businessman. You even started and ran for a while and just sold your own Santa booking company. So I'm like, why don't we talk a little bit about the business aspect of Santa, so people can really start thinking about it and really develop kind of their business earlier on in the year, so that when the season comes up, they're maybe not worrying about it as much, you know? So I'm just going to ask, I guess the best way to ask this is just like, is there some sort of, is it straight across the board, or you think there's a way people should price themselves? Why don't we just talk a little bit about pricing to start off? Like, it's the part of the business everybody wants to talk about and nobody wants to talk about at the exact same time, you know, because pricing will come up and people will go, I just do it for the love and stuff like that, which for a lot of people, if you can do it just for the love and for the children, that's amazing. And we're glad you do. But for a lot of guys, this is their job. It's their income. It's their first, first income. It's their supplementary income, stuff like that. So,
No, and that's a good point. I mean, I've taught this session or a session on pricing, you know, kind of what are you worth at different events. And I've done a number of business workshops and marketing workshops. And of course, you know, marketing to me is the key thing for you to do to build your business.
Good point.
But one of the first things you do have to answer is, what am I going to charge? And this is the time you want to make that determination, where, you know, right after the season, you want to start thinking about booking for next year. And we've already heard from a lot of people how, you know, they leave an event and the people say, okay, sign me up for next year.
I had that happen for the first time in 2023. Sorry to interrupt you. It was amazing. I did a couple events for a tourism company here in Vermont. That group of older folks came in from, you know, they take bus tours. They're the late middle age, early older age folks come in, and I would go in. I did two events right after they were done eating, or right before their meals came, I guess, in one case. And I just went around and did little selfie videos saying hello to their grandchildren, their nieces, nephews, stuff like that. And, you know, throwing modesty out the window, I was very well received both times. And after the second one, the company got in touch with me and went, hey, here are four groups we have for next year. Here's when they're coming. Here's when we want you. And I was like, oh, great. Yeah, I'll do that. So it happened to me for the first time in 2023. They're like, here, we already know when we want you for 2024.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's so common that, you know, if you do an event and they like you, they don't want to be out looking for a Santa next year. And so many events are already, they know the date. It's going to be the first Saturday in December, or, you know, whatever date it is. So you want to get those nailed down as quickly as possible. But I mean, a good example is, I have a photographer I work with, and she sets up really early. And she approached me in January and said, okay, what's your rate going to be next year? Because she bases her rates on what I'm going to charge her. And so it's so important to try to decide. Now, I mean, there's, and as you say, for folks who want to volunteer, or want to do work for friends for free. I mean, I certainly, if they have got that ability and they want to do that, I don't object to it.
No, and just to be fair, like, it's not like you and I don't do it, or I don't know a single Santa that doesn't do free gigs.
Right, exactly. You know? I mean, exactly. It's, you know, we all do free things. We discount to other people. And that's one of the points I kind of talk about is, even once you set your price, you can always adjust it. You can always go lower. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the main thing that I try to remember, that I try to get Santas and Mrs. Clauses to remember, is you can always go down. If you give them a price and they go, well, that's not within my budget. Mm-hmm. The next ask them, what's your budget? Mm-hmm. And then you can work with that and negotiate a price. But if you come in at a low price and they say, oh, I thought it'd be like $300 an hour. You can't then go, wait a minute. Yeah, 300 sounds good.
Right.
So, you know, my usually the simplest answer I give people, if they say, how much should I be charging? Mm-hmm. And I think there's an easy answer to that. More.
Mm.
Whatever your rate is, you may be charging much less than you could be or need to be. And I think part of it, too, is that if somebody, you know, doesn't need the money and they want to do it at a really low rate or for free, mm-hmm. you know, more power to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's also that element of, when you do that, what are you doing to the rest of the Santas? Because I know a case, is just a simple example of, a case where a Santa and Mrs. Claus would do a particular hockey club every year, and they would donate their time, or mm-hmm. not donate their time, but do it for free.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a nonprofit. It was a commercial professional hockey club.
Yeah.
And they would do it every year for free. And because Mrs. Claus likes to ride the Zamboni.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they did it. Well, a couple years later, another club in this league approached the Santa and said, oh, we want you this date. Here's the hours, blah, blah, blah. And he said, yep, I can do it. I'm available. And then he said, you know, the price will be this. And the hockey association said, well, wait a minute. In this other city, they do it for free.
Oh.
And it was like, well, I'm sorry. You might find that, see if they'll do it for you, but this is my living, this is my livelihood,
mm-hmm.
that I'm going, you know, this is how I make my living, this is a prime time, and this is when I can make my money. If I give you 4 hours for free, I'm losing $2,000, you know, $1,000. But and we run into the same things with nonprofits, that nonprofits often will say, oh, well, you know, we'd like you there for 6 hours and, you know, donate your services. And it's, you know, it's the first weekend in December they want you. And it's like, sorry, this is my bread and butter days. Yeah. I can't, you know, we got to make hay while the sun shines. And again, if somebody wants to do that and volunteer their services, that's fine. But I do think it's important when you do either free services or discounted services, you still send that client an invoice showing what the value is of that.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea.
Because then they realize, number one, Santa's not $25 an hour, you know, and a lot of people think that's $25. Yeah, sure. But it also then gives them an understanding. This is what we're getting for free or for discount.
Yeah.
So it's an important thing to really make sure people know what the value is.
Yes. And I'll just speak for my own experience. I can't speak to anybody else's experience, but I last year, I priced myself. The other thing that I think is important I should point out first is you should look at, I think taking into consideration where you live is very important, because some of us, well, I personally, I do anyway, because some of us live around wealthier neighborhoods or less wealthy neighborhoods, and you want to value yourself properly, but also not price out the people in your area, because then you won't have any business at all. So, last season I priced myself at a certain rate, and actually every season I've priced myself at a certain rate. And one of the things I've found is when you're talking about value is, the part of the reason I raised my prices was not just because life got more expensive and doing Santa got more expensive, but also because I had people afterward, like just chasing me out the door with tip money, which is not, and you know, I hate talking like that. I don't really, because I know necessarily, I don't think of myself as the best Santa or anything like that. But for my customers, I was doing such a good job. They felt like they were underpaying for my services. You know what I mean? And so they were chasing me out the door with, I've had customers give me like $100 tip before, you know? And it's like, whoa, I think I undervalued myself a little bit. And so I raised my prices a little bit. Now I still didn't go up as high as some Santas I know, because like I said, I don't want to price my potential clientele out. But I did go up, and I still feel like I may be undervaluing myself just a little bit, but I'm at a point where currently I feel comfortable, mostly because I have a full-time job on top of being Santa. But like for you listening, like if, and not that, you know, customers giving you tips is necessarily you've undervalued yourself. Maybe you valued yourself perfect. Although I guess it is. I guess if they still feel like they need to pay you more money on top of what you've already charged them, you've undervalued yourself, you know?
Yeah, so. And I think, I mean, that's certainly one way to measure it.
Sure.
But I'll go back to the first rule I kind of go by is you can always go down.
Yes.
So if you price your rates higher, and I hear this a lot from people that, oh, well, the community I'm in is, you know, kind of a low income, or, you know, people won't be able to pay that. My response is always, you don't know until you ask.
Sure.
And if you ask and they say, oh, that's outside our budget, okay, you can decide you'll do it for less.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think, especially on the prime weekends from Thanksgiving to Christmas, there is such a high demand that you may miss out on some events, but you're going to end up picking up others at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, this year was a perfect example. It got to a point where some national booking agencies were sold out in December. December 1st, they stopped taking requests. And any of us who are on Gig Salad or The Bash know that's when you get so many requests, is in December and so on. So I think it's, again, one of those cases where you can always do it for less, but that if you go in with a lower price, let me kind of cover a couple of things before we go on to that aspect of it.
Just of course.
This is one of the things we teach at Preparing for the Slay. And as I mentioned to you, this is my soapbox issue. This is the thing that, not even with beginner Santas, with experienced Santas. I mean, I know guys who are charging the same thing they did 10 years ago.
Ooh, yeah.
And prices have gone up for everything everywhere else.
Absolutely.
You know? And why are you not? And the excuse or the reason I usually have is, well, but I've had these clients for a long time, and this is what I'm charging them, and how am I going to go up and, you know, increase my rates? And I'll share a story of how I did it when I first started. Because I was in the same boat. I had not gone to any schools. I had not met I'd literally not met a Santa for the first 4 years that I was working at Santa.
Right.
I had no contacts. You know, again, all the social media wasn't there. There was almost no way to meet another Santa. And in fact, back then, it was kind of frowned upon to like show up at an event or, you know, everybody sort of did their own thing and didn't mm-hmm. want to communicate. But, you know, first of all, you can create different ways to charge for your services. You know, I know some people who charge based on the event type. So mm-hmm. if it's tree lighting or this, they may charge more or less because they really want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can charge for event type. You can charge by the client. So I know Santas who charge different rates for corporations or businesses than they do for home visits and nonprofits or that type of thing. So they'll have different rates
mm-hmm.
for each of those. You know, certainly you can charge by the services provided. You know, if you're coming in and going to be, you know, bringing in your chair and all those kinds of things, you can increase the price based on that.
Right.
Or if you're going to be doing, you know, we have some Santas who are very accomplished musicians and singers and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're going to come in and actually perform, you know, Christmas songs, to me, that's kind of
that's a value. Yeah, that's a value. Mm-hmm.
Than just coming in and being Santa for a party.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are you can certainly set up a half day or a full day rate. If somebody wants you for the full day, you can have a set price. This is mm-hmm. what I'm going to charge for the whole day or the half day. You know, there are those, and this is done with a number of different entertainers, groups, but like, okay, I'm going to charge an appearance fee. So you're going to pay me, we'll just use round numbers, $100
mm-hmm.
to come. But then you're going to also pay $100 per hour. So your first hour is $200.
Yes.
And then after that's $100. And mm-hmm. I know this is kind of, there's also that where a lot of times people will charge a certain amount for the first hour mm-hmm. and then they discount.
I do that for my photographers that I work with, actually. So that way the photographer, it's still fair where I make a good amount of money and the photographer gets a good amount of money, you know, so it works out for me and the photographer because I like the photographers I work with. I obviously want them to make their money for their, so I do for photographers, this is my first hour and this is every hour after that, you know,
so and that's
yep.
Yeah. And I think, there's a lot of opportunities where that would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there's just an hourly rate or a half hour rate.
Yep.
And then, of course, the other way you can just do is say, what's your budget?
Yes.
And see what they can afford to pay and then charge accordingly.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you another one that I think, and it may depend on where you live. You know, I'm from Vermont. I can cover my entire state, you know, end to end in a day, but I have a within 30 miles rate and I have a without 30, you know, further than 30 miles rate.
Yep.
So like last year I did a couple events. I live way up in the northern part of the state and I did a few events down in Waterbury and Stowe, which is 60 miles from me, you know, so they got a certain rate versus somebody in Burlington, which is only 30 miles from me, you know?
And I think that's, travel is definitely one of the factors you need to consider.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, like you say, you can either do a rate including travel mm-hmm. and you can certainly adjust the bid accordingly.
Yep.
Or you can just add travel after a certain amount. I use the first 30 minutes coming and going
mm-hmm.
are included in the rate.
Yep.
And then if it's more than that, I charge kind of half the hourly rate.
Yep.
And
okay.
So, and most of the time I don't even charge that, but I do have some where I'm going an hour and a half. I have to go to Boston during the week in the morning.
Oh, wow.
So an hour trip this past year, the first day I went in was over 2 hours.
Yeah. Boston traffic first thing in the morning.
So, I mean, I charged for the hour, but it was, I charged initially for, a half hour of travel when it really was an hour and a half of travel.
Yeah.
So it just, it balances out. But, you know, certainly there's travel to include. But then the other add-ons is if you're bringing a Mrs. Claus,
mm-hmm.
she should get paid.
Of course.
So the rate should be increased. If now, you're doing any special services, like, yep. you know, helping them promote things, or if you're going to do photos afterwards for their advertising or those things,
mm-hmm.
If you're bringing equipment, or if you're they've asked you to bring giveaways, make sure you always add that into your invoice.
Yes.
Now, you don't necessarily have to, you know, incorporate it into your rate necessarily, but if they're asking for extra stuff, make sure you charge for it. I think personally, the easiest way for me is to have an hourly rate.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, number one, everybody understands. If you say, I charge $300 an hour, they understand what that means. And mm-hmm. I do kind of do it by every half hour. I might adjust it more. It's easy to quote. You know, if you know you're working an hour and a half, you just multiply 1.5 times your rate.
Yep.
It does allow flexibility for them so that, you know, if you say, you know, it's $200 an hour mm-hmm. and they want you for 3 hours and they say, that's a little more. How about we do 2 hours or 2.5 hours or, you know, there's flexibility there for them.
Yep.
The other thing I feel important that there are those who charge different rates for like different communities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a really rich community, so I'm going to charge them $300. Mm-hmm. And this is a poor town, and I'm going to charge $200 there. Well, there's poor people who live in the rich towns, and there's
yes.
rich people who live in the poor towns.
Mm-hmm.
But I can just imagine somebody, you know, who you charge $300 for meeting the guy that, or, you know, knows the guy who you charge $200 for, and they start comparing price.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, wait a minute. He charged me, you know, 50% more than he charged you. So to me, it's just smarter to charge everybody the same. And then you can, of course, you know, adjust things if you need to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the idea of the discounting comes in. That, for example, you set your hourly rate for the weekends. I do Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Sure.
Well, then I offer a separate rate for Monday through Thursday.
Yeah,
so
I know a lot of guys.
Lower hourly rate. And mm-hmm. again, it's sort of I usually discount 15% off the regular. But so I have two rates. I've got the rate for weekdays, Monday through Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are the prime rate.
Mm-hmm.
You can also then incorporate discounts of other kinds, like nonprofit discount. You know, I do 20% for legitimate charity nonprofits.
Right.
Not all nonprofits are really
correct.
Deserve a discount. And then that way you're giving them a discount. And I do it for like daycare centers and schools.
Yeah.
You know, I do it that same discount.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's easy. You show them what the value is, and then as you do your invoice, it just says nonprofit discount minus 20%. You can also do you could do an early bird discount. Mm-hmm. You know, if they book and pay by September 1st, you take 10% off or whatever.
I've done a couple of those, yeah.
You know, and if they're going to do over a certain number of hours, you might knock off 10 or 15% of the price. So again, part of it is you're charging for travel. Well, if you're there for 4 hours, you know, if you were 1 hour, you'd charge them for all the travel.
Mm-hmm.
If they're there for 4 hours, you're still kind of charging them for travel in those 4 hours. So, you know, if you discounted either, you know, 4, 5, 10 hours, whatever you want to do, so that for those clients who book you for numbers of days for extended time, they're getting a break for that. And then the other aspect is off season. You know, you again can use your base rate, which says to them, this is what I'm worth. And then, you know, knock off 20% or 25% an hour.
Sure.
July or those kinds of things. We were talking about, you know, the challenge of raising rates. Well, when I first started again, I started out charging way too little for what I should have been.
Sure.
And so about 3 years in, I thought, okay, I got to raise my rates. So I decided instead of raising the rates, I was going to raise my rate. But then I told all my returning customers, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a 10% discount as a returning customer. And if you pay your retainer by September 1st, there's another 10%.
Oh, there you go.
And so I had raised my rates probably 25, maybe 30%, because that was the year you suddenly realized, wow, I'm way off. I got to pop them up there.
Yes.
And so it said to them, here's what this is worth, but because you've been around with me for a while, I'm going to discount it and keep it pretty close to what they were paying. So there was an increase, but it wasn't bad. So I think there's ways you can find to solve problems with returning customers when you, you know, do decide that you need to raise your rates.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
I also want to just talk a little bit about, you know, top end pricing. I think anybody who's listening to this should be at the top end of the pricing in their area.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are being they're educating themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They probably have a great suit. They get insurance. They have a background check every year. They are skilled in what they do, they're experienced, and all the rest of it. So if we're not the top end Santas, who are?
Right.
You know, I mean, you said, well, I might not be the top of the Santas, but you are, because who else is out there that does as much study and education and all the rest that you do, or I do, or most other Santas do? If you're involved in the New England Santa Society, those Santas
meet
every month and talk and share and go to training programs otherwise and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. To me, we should be those Santas that are at the top end.
Yeah.
Now, the other aspect that comes in is experience. You know, people worry, well, I'm a brand new Santa.
Mm-hmm.
And how can I be at the top end of the pricing? And it's like, it's the old economics that some people learned back in school, you know, how are prices affected when supply and demand change? Well, if demand is high and supply is low, prices go up.
Yes.
And guess what, folks? Right now, supply is the demand is extremely high, and this past year, I think anybody who was around trying to book knows it was nuts. And it started earlier in the year than it ever has. I mean, we in July, that's when the requests started coming in for Santa. In the past, I always figured mid-November, that's when we'd start seeing all the gig salad requests and the bash requests. Not this year. It started in July. And by November, mid-November, there was nobody available to do the weekends in January, in December.
Yeah.
You know, the Saturdays in December filled up by, in most cases, by mid-November. And by December, there was almost nothing available on the weekends. Mm-hmm. So this demand is so high that alone should drive the prices up.
Now, I have a quick question about,
yeah,
since we're talking about top end price, and obviously this is boy, this is hard to determine. It's a big country. People are charging different things everywhere, but you've thrown around $200, $300 an hour. What, just throw me a number that you think is, and like I said, it's probably difficult to think about considering how many Santas there are and how many different places, but what do you think is maybe like a good going rate for a top end Santa, do you think?
I mean, I'd think after seeing this year, 300 is probably not unreasonable. Okay. I mean, you can do 275, 295.
Sure. And like you said, you can always go down depending on, okay, gotcha.
And as you mentioned, I had a booking agency and I used to book throughout New England. And certainly in New England, those prices are well within the range. I mean, this year, we jumped halfway through the year. And again, I was working with another company at that point where I was just doing the gig salad and the bash bids for them. Mm-hmm. But those jumped $100 an hour in November.
Wow.
So we were up to $395 an hour on the Saturdays. And we were booking. And not, you know, I didn't book a lot, and I know I had a lot more declines than I've had at that rate.
Mm-hmm.
But $295
still came through.
Yeah, but when we were doing $275, $295 an hour, I wasn't even getting, that's more than I expected. I mean, people weren't even questioning the prices. And I've talked to other Santas who were charging $250 to $300. And they gave me the same response. I was amazed. Wow. They said I was amazed. People didn't even question. They booked immediately. And again, I think it's that supply and demand issue that really came into play.
Mm-hmm.
But again, for most of the Santas who are serious about it, and even if they're not experienced, if they've gone to school, if they've, mm-hmm. Are continuing to try to improve themselves, if they've got a decent suit and, all the background checks and those things, they are the best Santas out there. They mm-hmm. should be getting paid the most. And again, you can ask for 300. And if they say, that's more than I wanted to pay, you're in a position to negotiate. You're in a position to talk. And I think And I'll say, even for those Santas who do the mall type settings, and so they're there all year and they're getting an hourly rate, or I know those agencies don't normally give you an hourly rate, to give you for the season, but they come in and, having been a booking agent myself, for booking agents, their job is to make money for their company.
Right.
So they're going to book an event with a client, and then they're going to offer the Santa as little as they can to make more money.
Right.
And so I had somebody say to me, this company doesn't understand the market because they always come in with $150 an hour for a gig. And I tell them it's not enough, and they'll say, okay, we'll find somebody else. And they do.
So
the market. There's too many Santas out there willing to work for very little money. And so that shuts us out. Now with the mall work, they'll come in with a low ball price. Mm-hmm. And what Santa needs to do is negotiate. Say, no, this is what I want. And if they don't want to pay it, now you got a decision.
I know last year, for example, of course, everybody always thinks, one of the big Santa gigs is Macy's. And then last year, I think what they were paying kind of got out there. And I saw Santa's going, that's what Macy's is paying? That is ridiculously low. Like Macy's is supposedly the Santa job. And it's like Santas were going, I wouldn't work for them for that. No way. Just to be a Macy's Santa? No.
Yeah. and you're probably swamped more than anybody else would ever be. Mm-hmm. But I think it's the Santa's personal decision, you know, of course. But I had a Santa that I met this year. It was new last year, and he's working at a mall. And I said, you know, I told him, well, I've got a job for you down the road if you're interested, because I had a store that I was looking for somebody to work, kind of, you know, split the job with. Mm-hmm. And I told him what I was paying, and he said, oh my God, they're only paying me $20 an hour.
Oh.
And he was the Santa for the year. He was the only Santa in an area where they have a really hard time recruiting Santas.
Oh.
Because there aren't many up there. Mm-hmm. It was the same thing in Vermont. I mean, yep. You know.
Oh, I know.
Vermont, Maine, some other states.
Yep.
There are so few Santas. And then, yeah. You know, companies are out there looking, and you're saying, hey, there's nobody. And if there is, they're not going to take $25 an hour when they can be out there making $200 to $300 at gig work.
I can only think of, well, there was one other guy close to me. He had been Santa forever, and last year he was retired. He finally hung up his coat. He was, you know, and then I can think of one other guy besides him that's around, and I don't know how much he's doing. I don't know if he's doing it just as kind of a hobby or what. I haven't spoken to him. I just know he's out there. Yeah. So beyond, I've said it on this show before, to my knowledge, I haven't met anybody else doing my kind of Santa work in the state of Vermont.
Yeah.
So
I think we just got one new Santa join Ness. New England Santa Society, who's from Vermont.
Oh.
And I think he's over in the western part, I think down around Manchester.
Actually, the only other Santa I can think of is Santa Finn. And Santa Finn is for anybody that doesn't know, Santa Finn is I've brought him up on the show before, but he's disabled, and he communicates he has a disability, and he communicates via a speech program on an iPad. And he's, you know, him and his mother Suki, who does Mama Claus, Santa's mom, they're great people, but they're still doing slightly different things than
I'm doing, exactly. You know, so. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And we had another member up in Burlington, but I'm not sure if he's active anymore.
Hmm.
So you're right. I mean, there's so few that we can find or get connected mm-hmm. with, and I have the same problem in Maine. I mean, there are very few Santas available or at least I should say who are active in the Santa community.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Maine is a little bigger than New Hampshire and Vermont. And, you know, we get requests and they're, you know, 4 hours, five, 6 hours.
They're way up in what my grandfather would have called potato country.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where he was from, was the very northern part of Maine.
That's right.
We called it potato country.
I used to book a cinema that would do the Polar Express. They would do a showing of Polar Express on the same day and time in mm-hmm. all six of their theaters. And three of them were in the southern part, but there were three others that it was a 2-hour drive for anybody.
Yeah.
And so to try to find people that were willing to do that was tough. And mm-hmm. we were lucky that we filled it, you know, right up until COVID. And I don't think they do it anymore. Ooh. But so it's, you know, and again, that's one of the things with Santas. I mean, I know a Santa who's up in northern New Hampshire, and he's doing events as far south as mm-hmm. Connecticut and Massachusetts, over in western Vermont.
Yep.
And, you know, and they're paying him mileage and for the gig. So
talking,
the demand is definitely there.
Yeah, I was talking to, you know him. He was in the Santa Camp document. I just a couple days ago did one of these recordings with Chris Kennedy down in Arkansas.
Yes, sure.
And he is busy as can be, because he is the only professional Black Santa in the entire state of Arkansas.
Right. Right.
So he's just busy as can be every year, because there's a demand for it.
That's right.
So You know, so consider, I would also think, like you said, demand, consider yeah. your area. And there is a, it's been in the news the past couple of years, a Santa shortage. There's been a lot of guys that have retired or passed on, and not enough people are coming in. Although I have seen, which is encouraging, I've seen a lot of guys in my age range. You know, I'm 36 years old, yep. and I've seen a lot of guys in their 30s and 40s start doing Santa. So at least we're going to be able to do this for a long time. But if sure. you're listening and you're in your 30s and 40s,
oh yeah,
encourage more guys in their 30s, 40s, and 50s to come on in. You don't have yep. to wait till you're 60, 65, 70 years old to start doing this.
Exactly. You know, you're, exactly.
Dan's been here telling you the whole time that, you know, either as a full-time gig or a side gig for extra Christmas money, this can be, you know, based on the demand and everything, you could make yourself a little bit of a good living or extra living, you know, yeah. on top of,
I mean, there are a
and have a lot of fun doing it.
Right. Exactly. That's the best part. It's a great job. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I wish I had started doing it much earlier than I did.
Yeah,
because I love it, and I could have, this could have become my career mm-hmm. much earlier than it has. And, you know, and I've even now that I'm just doing my own events, you know, I'm making pretty good money for 2 months of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps pay my bills through the year pretty well. And I can go to events like the ISC or yep. other training sessions that are going on, because I'm making enough money to really make it a career.
And I think that's another thing to talk about when we're talking about valuing yourself. You're putting money into doing this. You are investing in nice Santa suits. You're investing yep. in travel to different places to network and learn with other people. You know, I saw somebody the other day in one of the Santa groups go, "What is the point of a Santa school? Why would you go?" And it's like, because just like any other profession, you might, same reason teachers have, my dad has been in the electric, my dad sells electrical supplies. He still goes to conferences,
oh, yeah.
you know, and he's
yeah.
in his mid 60s. He still sells electrical supplies, and he still goes to electrical supply selling conferences, because you want to network with other people that do your job and learn different things about it and how you can do better at it. And that's costing you money. Flights
oh, yeah.
are expensive. Driving is expensive. Hotels yeah. are expensive. So, you know, the cost that you're giving your customer is an end product of what you have been investing in your business all year long that your customers aren't seeing. Plus the other stuff your customers aren't seeing, like the time it takes you to get ready. You have to
right.
take your shower, brush your teeth, style your beard, get dressed, yep. that kind of stuff. That all yep. is stuff to consider when you're thinking about valuing yourself and what you want to charge a customer.
And that's a good point, because I mean, I've always offered a half hour option for a Santa visit.
Mm-hmm.
But with the company I'm working with now, they have a minimum of an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's value in that, because just what you say, the amount of time it takes us to get ready, to make the travel and everything else. I mean, every once in a while you get these requests for 15 minutes visits. Well, you know, there's no way you're going to go into a home with kids and be out of there in 15 minutes.
I can't be out of there in a half hour.
Right. Right. I mean, it's just not possible. But, and you'll say to somebody, "Well, no, this is our rate." And it's like, "Well, but I just need you to drop off some presents." Like, you know, it's not just the time in the door and out the door. It's all the rest of it that's included there. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely worth, you know, considering, do you want to do like a minimum?
I had, and this past year, another example is I had a couple days. I know some guys won't have this. I had a couple days where I left my house, but I had a space between gigs, but I wasn't going to drive home between gigs. I ended up, I went and I sat for a little while in a McDonald's parking lot, having a snack and listening to the radio.
Yeah.
But like, that was part of my day that was not productive. And I wasn't home. I was just hanging out in a parking lot. Now, not a lot of guys will have that. A lot of guys are gig after gig after gig. And I don't have it very often, but it did happen. I had one day this year where just like I had a space between gigs, but I just, it wasn't worth my time to drive home between,
right, you know?
Yeah. So,
And I think the other related point to that is when you schedule, I try to, you know, do the minimum amount of time between gigs. I mean, I include the travel that it should take, but I'd rather be going all day.
Yeah.
You know, you got the time to rest when you're in the car. And I'll say to a client, okay, we're playing, you know, the scheduled time is 5, but it could be 15 minutes before, 15 minutes after that I get there. If it's going to be more than that, I'll call you. And my normal practice anyhow is I will text them when I leave the previous event, and then I text them when I get there. But if, you know, I know Santas who say, well, you know, this is going to be an hour drive between, and then they throw in an extra half hour for rest or whatever. And it's like, and also be sensible in terms of how far are you going to travel?
Yeah.
I knew a Santa who's his first year, he was doing Christmas Eve bookings, which for me is always under a half hour.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I get requests for an hour and it's like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that because there's such a high demand on Christmas Eve that I want to be able to take care of as many customers as I can. And so I that won't do an hour Christmas Eve.
And that's the thing, like the only thing I do on Christmas Eve is the sneak a peeks, you know, and those are very short, but I also limited the distance on those. Those specifically are stated only within a half hour radius of the town I live in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I just don't have time to go do somebody's, well, I actually, the past couple of years, I haven't done many of them, but just in, like I wouldn't go do one an hour away from where I live because the next one might be, you know, closer to where I live, stuff like that. Yep. So you can think about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I'm one that the first few years I would put on 3 or 4 hours of drive time on Christmas Eve, you know, and do 5 or 6 events, but you're doing it like you say. I had in the first year when I first started, I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
And I had an hour trip between my first one and second one, and then, you know, another 30 minutes, and then another 30 minutes, or, you know, instead of having a tight radius. And of course, when we're starting out, we always want to fill up, we'll take them all.
Yeah.
But it's very easy with clients sometimes to say, look, I can't do it at this time, but how about if we do it at this time?
Yeah.
And with Christmas Eve, a lot of times it's just the family, you know, and they're going to be there for dinner and they're, so there's flexibility. And it, again, it gets to that point of negotiation. You need to be willing to tell clients, you know, well, I can't do it at this time, but how about if we shift it this way or that way?
Yes.
So it's, you know, that's one of the days where the hourly rate is the half hour rate. So Christmas Eve is just double basically what you charge.
Yeah.
And Christmas Day, kind of the same thing, although I don't find the demand on Christmas Day is that great. And so a lot of times, you know, it'll be like one of those, well, here's the rate, but I'll do it for this.
I'm the other guy. I am the boy. The amount of money it would take to get me out of my house on Christmas Day is like, I don't think anybody near me is, I could be wrong. There's within a half hour of me, there's some very rich neighborhoods. I wouldn't say communities, but neighborhoods.
Right. Yeah.
So like maybe they would pull that raid out if they wanted it bad enough, but I doubt it. Cause I basically say I don't, you know, Christmas Day isn't even available for somebody to click on my schedule.
Yeah.
But if somebody got in touch with me and said I really wanted it, I would say, all right, but it's going to cost you like $1,000 to get me out of my house. That's my family day.
I'll just share a quick story. I was had a really busy year. Gets to Christmas Eve, everything finishes, and I don't get back until like 11 o'clock to my house.
Yeah.
And my kids are older, and we don't have any grandchildren. But you know, the family would have Christmas Eve dinner, and so by the time I got there, they were done and they were still playing games and things like that. So I get home and I, you know, everything went well that year, no big issues. And so the next morning I'm thinking, well, I can sleep in. Well, sure enough, I'm up early. I woke up and so I get on the computer and there's a request on Gig Salad for Santa to come visit that day, Christmas Day. And he just posted it. I mean, that like in the middle of the night, I think he posted it. So I laughed. It's like, yeah, buddy, you know,
yeah, right.
Last minute, you want to say it on Christmas Day? Ooh. And I thought, you know what? I'll put in a bid. Mm-hmm. And it was not quite 90 minutes for me to drive to the place. It was a ski area up north. Mm-hmm. And my thought was, this is a single dad who forgot that it was going to be Christmas and didn't do anything for his kids. He had like two girls or something. So I thought, okay, he's at a ski area in a condo and, you know, maybe he's got some money. So I'll put in, I talked to my wife. I said, if I disappear for 3 hours this afternoon, would that be a problem? No, that's fine. So I go on, it's like, you know, I forget what it turned out to be, like $1,600 or something.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, if he accepts it, great. You know, it's, you know, it'll be a nice little chunk of change. I can buy the family some more gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And he never did respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's one of those deals. I know a Santa who was offered up to, I think it was the Santa wanted him to go into Manhattan on Christmas. And he just said, no, I can't. It's my family day. And and the guy kept offering him more and more money. I think he was up to, I think he said $1,500. And he would have kept going more.
Wow.
He said, look, I just can't do it for anything.
Yeah.
And turned it down. So there are those people who will pay if they really want you. So
yeah. Also, there's one other thing I wanted to circle back to from way back.
Sure.
You're talking about Mrs. Clauses and stuff like that. I wanted to mention one of my favorite stories. I think it's captured in the Santa Camp documentary, but I was there for it live. The Santa who there was one that was kind of a joke and made everybody go boo and stuff like that, you know. But there was one that I thought was really good because also valuing Mrs. Claus is very important, where they always work as a duo. And the answer from him was, if somebody says, well, what is the rate without Mrs. Claus? It's actually more.
Yeah.
Which I think if you're working with a Mrs. Claus is probably because people will always think, oh, we don't want Mrs. Claus to, maybe we don't want Mrs. Claus to come. Maybe we can get a discount on that. If you're out there and you're working with your Mrs. Claus, value, and you were talking about Mrs. Claus's rates and pricing and everything. I think that's a good tactic to steal. Well, what would it be without Mrs. Claus?
Right.
More.
Yeah. Yeah. I had heard that prior to that, somebody talk about that. And and somebody, you know, commented on, well, why would you charge less? Why wouldn't you charge less? There's fewer people. And he says, because I got to work harder now. I don't have somebody to help with the line control or, you know, do this part of it or that part
of it. And also that's, you know, Mrs. Claus's money that she's missing out on.
Right, right.
You know?
And I think, you know, we didn't talk about rates for Mrs. Claus, but I think, you know, Mrs. Claus is doing it on their own, should be charging the same as Santa.
Oh, yeah. You and know? They're doing
I think the Mrs. and because of the shortage this year, I would often recommend to people to hire a Mrs. Claus, because mm-hmm. she can do everything Santa can do. And she can take photos. She can take orders for the North mm-hmm. Pole. She can read the stories. And in some cases, she can do more, or, you know, will do, mm-hmm. can do more than Santa would.
Lots of crafts with Mrs. Claus, right? Lots of cooking with Mrs. Yeah. Claus, yeah. All that kind of stuff. Yeah, Mrs. Clauses exactly. are doing just as much.
Right. And I think, you know, and we would put out bids on Mrs. Claus by herself, and it would be the same. Now, when you're traveling with your spouse and you're both going together, you know, then it becomes a question of, okay, well, you're not both traveling, so there could be an adjustment there. Mm-hmm. So I kind of went with the idea that I'm doing 1.75 times the hourly rate is what I charge for Santa and Mrs. Claus.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly there's those cases where Mrs. Claus is out with you and you're going to an event and, you know, it's a past client or something. It's like, hey, I'm going to bring Mrs. Claus along for no, sure. you know, no extra cost. Just she's with me and she'll stop in and, mm-hmm. you know, and we do some of those, and some of them are people who are friends of Mrs. Claus. So, mm-hmm. you know, we do those, but I think generally, you know, there's a lot of Santas out there who don't even charge for the misses.
Yeah.
And they're giving that away. And, you know, that's another one value. Of those areas that you got to really value her mm-hmm. part in the process.
Like
too.
You said about the guy that said he's doing more work. Mrs. Claus is there to help. Mrs. Yeah. Claus, I think most of us know, is a good way to help with kids that are afraid. Mrs. Claus, yeah. There's just added value there.
Right.
Maybe
right.
she can sing and you can't.
Right. Exactly.
You know, something
I mean,
like
I have
that,
a couple
know?
Of Santas that worked for me that they weren't comfortable reading stories or singing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the role Mrs. Claus played.
Yeah.
So there's definitely opportunities. And I think I've seen a lot more interest in having both Santa and Mrs. Claus
mm-hmm.
lately. I mean, in the past couple of mm-hmm. years. So
I have my wife doesn't really do Mrs. Claus. She has a very nice she did it for her very first time this past year. I got her a nice robe to wear, not necessary, and she just can wear, but she had never done it with me before. But I had a 2022, I had an event, I did a photo event with a family that it was their baby boy's very first Christmas, and they just kind of fell in love with me. And the mother emailed me at one point and goes, are you doing this photo event again this year? We want to bring our boy back. I said, yeah, I'm definitely going to be there. I can't wait to see you, see how much he's grown, stuff like that. And then she emails me. She goes, will Mrs. Claus be there? And I said, I don't know. Let me talk to her. But it literally was, I got that, like you said, more interest. I got that request for the very first time was with, and my wife did end up coming out, and I said, there is a family that specifically requested Santa and Mrs. Claus be there. Would you come? You don't have to stay for the whole event, but just I'll find out what time slot they signed up for. Can you come for, and she hung out for a little bit, and kids were like, and kids did, they did like, can I give you a hug? Are you really missing that kind of thing? And she goes, okay. Now I kind of see why you do this. This was adorable. And, you know, she didn't stay for the whole event, but she enjoyed it. And so, you know, like you said, the interest is there. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this brings up a couple other points for folks to consider. One is there are a number of Mrs. Clauses who are solo
mm-hmm.
looking for opportunities to work with Santas.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, this is where being involved in your local group, mm-hmm. so you get to know these people.
Yes.
But we've had more and more single Mrs. Clauses
mm-hmm.
join our group.
Yep.
And they are looking. In fact, we're going to create a mechanism where they can say, I'm looking for Santas to work with.
Or that's
Santas
good.
Can reach out and find a Mrs. Claus.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned, in those cases, you know, they are traveling separately often. And so you know, that's where that pricing gets tricky, because you almost need to charge the same for both.
Yeah.
Because they are providing mm-hmm. a valuable service. I wanted to mention, it's just, I have two other things I want to touch on before we wrap up. But
yeah,
one is mentioning photographers.
Mm-hmm.
I have to admit, it took me 15 years to realize this. But when I first started, I was doing photography and, you know, I would find a photographer who wanted me in, and it would be, you know, I gave him a discount, essentially. It's like, mm-hmm. okay, I'll come in and you know, it's earlier in the season, I always before Thanksgiving.
Yep.
And so it would be an opportunity to, you know, get a full day's work. So I would give him a huge discount to come in and work with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a year or so ago, suddenly I realized, wait a minute, this might be one of the few clients who can make money off of us, mm-hmm. and we're giving them a discount.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of one of those things. It's like, you know, I know Santas who do it for free to get photos.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like, wait a minute, you're going to give them 8 hours of work and you're just getting some photos? You'd be better off to hire a photographer to do it for you and a lot less money than what you're giving them. And I think, you know, I've kind of changed. I still, you know, I give them a rate because it's before Thanksgiving, and I will adjust if it's multiple hours. But if it's only a couple hours, I'm going to pretty much charge regular rate.
Yeah.
Because they just pass that cost on.
Of course.
If you've ever paid attention to what they're charging.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, I have a photographer I work with that, you know, she charges a really good price. She sells photos. And I'm thinking, hey, if I charge her an extra $25, $50, it's not, she just passes it on.
Right. And I'm
she sort of taught me, it's like, okay, she wants to know what I'm charging so she can pass it on to her customers. And
right.
So,
That's kind of one of the things, like one of the photographers I've been working with for the past couple of years, she and I have been thinking, struggling a little bit, because obviously she has to charge her rate to make, you know, and pay me and everything. And we haven't been filling as many slots as are available.
Right.
For just the Santa photo shoots.
Yeah.
So, one of the things she also does tree farm photo shoots. And one of the things we discussed and will continue to discuss through this year is, what if she sells her tree farm photo shoots, and then, like, right at the end at the tree farm, Santa shows up? That way, they can still get some of their photos with Santa.
Yeah.
And also just get family photos, because maybe they just want family photos. And she says those are big. And so it's one of those things where I'm like, well, now I've got to think about, you know, do I want to charge her a different rate because I'm doing different work, or am I just going to charge her charge her my same rate as if it was just the Santa shoot? You know, stuff like that is stuff to consider. So
yeah, we ran into that in that I had done for a couple of years. We did Santa shoots with at the tree farm, and then they would do fall photos with the family.
Yeah.
And I think the photographer realized I'm only really involved for about half of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just sitting there waiting for to do the other ones.
Right.
And so she's working on what, either having her assistant do, you know, they would both be working at the same time. So one would be working with Santa and the other would be doing those fall photos, and they just flip the families and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean that, and a lot of times it depends on the setup. I mean, I have a client I work with or have worked with that, you know, they do like 10-minute mini sessions.
Sure.
They're just doing one after the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one who do 25 minutes or more, or even up to an hour, and they just do different sets and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So again, sometimes it's a case of talking with them and just negotiating,
yes,
getting a fair rate for you but then they can still charge a reasonable rate. So,
yeah,
there is one other thing I wanted to talk about, and that is, you know, again, if you offer a price to a client and they kind of balk, you know, it's much more than they wanted to spend. One of the things to look at, are there other ways to get paid for that time? So if, and this, I've done this a lot with cases where, you know, I come into an event, I like a country club, for example, who has been using another Santa and who wasn't charging as much as I do. And, you know, the first year I come in, it's, they're like, oh man, that's a lot more than we budgeted for, so on and so forth. And since I like to play golf, I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll take, you know, a foursome of carts, and we'll reduce the fee for that much. And I like it because I get to play some private courses I could never play otherwise. But it also puts them in a position where they can stick with their budget, and you're still getting the value that you want. And I mean, you know, that's certainly one is you can barter services.
You know, again, going just again. I was going to say again, going back to photographers, if you don't have any really good professional, the first time I worked with one of my photographers, I took, what'd she give me? 10 photos, you know, 10 really nice photos for however, you know, so if you're out there just talking about bartering and you're going to work with a photographer for the first time and you don't have any really good professional photos of yourself, barter for photos.
And actually in my contracts with all my photographers, one of the things they have to give me is photos by myself. Digital, non-copyright, non-watermark, non-copyrighted. And that for, so for all my photographers, I can every year get some new photos, you know, the ones I work with. So it's, and they're, you know, most of them, there's no problem doing that. It's just to include that as part. The other, you know, there's other ones like for a nonprofit that has a membership base or a program. I mean, I've taken memberships in a number of organizations, which gives me free admission, you know, to the year. It puts me in their supporters book. And so I use it almost as advertising for the company, but also I get things out of it. And so you could discount those things. The other big one is gift certificates. I mean, again, I've done a number of nurseries and, you know, farm stand kind of places. And my wife likes to garden. And so, again, with those, a couple of them were clients that I picked up when another Santa had to retire, and his rates were really pretty low. So I... my invoice shows my regular rates, and then I discount part of it in gift cards. And so, you know, we're still getting something of value to us. My wife can use it, and they're paying me what I'm worth. And I find a lot of companies, they'll do that readily. Now, I know there are, and I always do a percent. I don't do the whole fee as gift cards. Usually it's, you know, it might be a maybe portion for a third or something like that, whatever I feel it's worth to me. But there are some that, you know, if you're willing to work just for gift cards, you could certainly do that. But my suggestion is you double the value of the gift cards, because gift cards, they're kind of getting, it's really costing them about 50% of the face value, especially retail locations and stuff. So in that case, I would try to get double or at least, you know, 70, a quarter, a half more, 50% more of what the value is. And again, if you don't use them, not costing them anything, those kinds of things. And I know that's a suggestion I've heard from others. If you're just getting gift cards, double it. So, and you know, there are other things. If you find ways, you could do marketing opportunities with them where they would help promote your business, or, you know, you could get a contact list that you could send to their members, you know, to promote your business, or do some kind of cooperative activity.
Yeah.
You know, if they can't, like a nonprofit can't, doesn't want to pay us what you're worth, maybe you work out something where you can actually do something with their organization that would help you.
I recommend mom groups for that kind of thing. I work with Vermont Moms. Now, Vermont Moms is perfectly happy to pay me my regular rate. They, you know, they're a pretty well-known group, but also I still get something out of them for that. It is, you know, customers can go. I had customers this year that came and did pictures with me and then wanted to do other things afterward.
Sure.
You know? But if maybe a local mom group that, you know, Vermont Moms does lots of events around the state. They do just lots of, so if you have something like that and maybe they can't give you your full rate, go, you know, maybe say, well, I could discount it if you, you know, put up advertising for me at a couple of your events, not just the one I'm at, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. Or like, you give them an email that they then send to their members.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like a direct, here's what I can offer you and here are my rates and sign up and I'll discount it 20% because you're a member of this group type of thing. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent. Oh, Dan, there's so many more things I want to talk to you about in the future, not just business, because we've talked about New England Santa Society and we've talked about Santa Camp. But before we get to all that, since we're wrapping up here, I'm going to ask you, the five questions I ask all my first time guests. And so the first one is for the Christmas tree, white lights or colored lights?
Colored.
Okay. For the top of the tree, star, angel, or other?
Anything.
Okay. Anything. All right. Third favorite cookie.
Well, I love all cookies, but when kids ask me that, my question is, what's your favorite cookie?
I like that answer too.
If you tell them your favorite cookie is snickerdoodles and the mom's got to make them and she has no idea how to make snickerdoodles.
Yeah.
So I always turn it around and say to the kids, what's your favorite?
Yep.
Oh, that's my favorite too. I'd love those.
Mm-hmm. All right. Third favorite Christmas movie or TV special?
Oh man, this is always a tough one.
Yes,
I've been listening to podcasts about Christmas movies, and you may want to do a show on this sometime.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably I'd have to say my favorite Christmas movie is the original Miracle on 34th Street with Gwen.
Mm-hmm.
But there's plenty more that are good on choice. A list of favorites.
Yeah, very good choice. And the last one is favorite Christmas song.
Up on the Housetop.
Ah, another good choice. Yeah. So before we get out of here, I'll ask you, since we've mentioned it a couple times, are there dates for New England Santa Society Santa Camp this year?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the last weekend in August.
Okay.
It's always the weekend before Labor Day weekend. So
okay.
I forget the exact dates. I think it's 24th, 25th, 26th.
Something like that.
Maybe.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, 23rd, 24th, 25th. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's in Greenfield, New Hampshire. So
yeah, I'll have you come back sometime before it happens and we can talk all about Santa Camp as well.
Sure. Yeah. Because once we know exactly which courses we're going to teach this year.
And, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And also, since we've mentioned New England Santa Society so much, also, I want to talk to you at some point about the importance of having Santa groups, and maybe somebody somewhere wants to start their own if their area doesn't have one, because you were there to help start New England Santa Society.
Yes, I was. So,
all of that stuff is, Dan, man, I could talk to you for just ever and ever. So I'll definitely be having you back. But thanks so much for coming on and talking about the stuff, like I said, that everybody wants to talk about, but also nobody wants to talk about at the same time. It's our community's dance around it topic.
That's right.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, Dan.
All right. Thanks, Matt. It was fun.
Yes.
Many thanks again to Dan for coming on the show. I know that was a little different. And like I said, it's what everybody wants to talk about and nobody wants to talk about at the same time. So I hope you got something out of that and it will help you out this coming season. Until next time, as always, remember, keep Christmas with you.